والذين اتخذوا مسجدا ضرارا وكفرا وتفريقا بين المؤمنين. And there are those hypocrites who took for themselves a mosque. Why? For causing harm and disbelief and division among the believers. And as a station for whoever had waged war against Allah and His Messenger before. And they will surely swear, "We intended only the best." And Allah testifies that indeed they were liars. Do not stand for prayer within it ever. A mosque founded on righteousness from the first day is more worthy for you to stand in. Within it are men who love to purify themselves, and Allah loves those who purify themselves. Then is one who laid the foundation of his building on righteousness with fear from Allah and seeking His approval better? Or one who laid the foundation of his building on the edge of a bank about to collapse, so it collapsed with him into the fire of hell? And Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Their building, which they built, will not cease to be a cause of skepticism in their hearts until their hearts are stopped, meaning until they die. And Allah is knowing and wise. Now in these ayat, the masjid dirar is mentioned. The masjid of dirar. Dirar is to inflict harm on others. Meaning the objective of the so-called masjid was to inflict harm on the Muslims, on the cause of Islam. We learned that in Medina, there were mainly two masajid, two mosques that were built by the Prophet ﷺ. One masjid was inside the city, Masjid al-Nabawi, where the Prophet ﷺ performed the prayers. He led the Sahaba in prayer. And there was another masjid which was outside the city, which was in Quba, which the Prophet ﷺ had started building. And then before its construction was completed, the Prophet ﷺ went to Medina. He built it on his journey of Hijrah. Now these two masajid, they both had their special virtues. We learned that the Prophet ﷺ, he would go to Masjid Quba in order to perform salah over there. He would go in order to perform salah in Masjid Quba. Meaning he would go with the intention of performing salah in Quba. That was his sole purpose of going to Masjid Quba. Do we ever do that? Alhamdulillah, if we do, that is good. That we go to a masjid. Why? Just to pray there. Generally what happens, we go because our friend is coming, our sister is coming. So we think, okay, you know, we can also socialize there. Good. But sometimes go sincerely, exclusively, why? To perform salah. That this is also a house of Allah. And I should also pray salah over there. Or generally we go for the purpose of marriage or things like that. So anyway, we learned that the munafiqun, the hypocrites, they wanted to set up a meeting place where they could come together for their activities and where they could also secretly plot against the Muslims. Now, if they did it in any place, they would come under attention. So they decided to do this in a so-called masjid. They said, "We will make a masjid, we will call it a masjid, and nobody is going to doubt us. We will be apparently doing a good thing, and behind this veil of a noble cause, we will do what we want to do." So they built a masjid. And they requested the Prophet ﷺ to come and pray there so that that masjid would also be granted its virtues and it would have a stamp of approval from Rasulullah ﷺ. And then they could just stay there and do their activities and their evil plotting against the Muslims. And also this was an escape for them because they did not like to pray salah. So if they did not come to Masjid al-Nabawi, and if they were not found in Masjid Quba, people would wonder, where were you? So now they could say, oh, we were in this masjid of ours, where they would not even pray. Apparently they were doing righteous deeds. So what happened? They wanted the Prophet ﷺ to come and pray salah over there. But Rasulullah ﷺ, he was busy at that time with the expedition to Tabuk. So he said that on his return, he will stop by and pray there. Now on return from Tabuk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat exposing the reality of the so-called masjid. The agenda behind this masjid, Allah exposed its reality. And so this masjid, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had it demolished. He had it demolished. Apparently it was such a noble deed, but because the intention was corrupt, what happened? It wasn't worth any reward near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's the moral over here? That no matter how beautiful and apparently righteous an action may be, if the foundation is not of taqwa, if the foundation is not a fear of Allah, then that deed, no matter how huge, no matter how beautiful it may be, it has no value, it has no blessing, it has no goodness whatsoever. So, the work of deen, any act of worship, any struggle in Allah's way, any effort in Allah's way, it must be done with sincerity. Whether it is small or it is big, it must be done with ikhlas. Because if ikhlas is missing, then what will happen? That action is worthless. If the intention is to seek Allah's approval, then what will happen? Even a little bit, even a little deed will suffice. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever builds a masjid for the sake of Allah, like a sparrow's nest. Can you imagine a sparrow's nest? How small would it be? And this bird which is mentioned in the hadith, it's not actually a sparrow. This is a translation. It's actually a rare bird whose nest is basically a hole in the ground. It's nothing. It's just a hole in the ground. It doesn't even collect any twigs or anything like that. It's just a hole in the ground. So whoever builds a masjid, even if it's as small and humble like the nest of a bird, Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. Why? Because the intention was sincere. The intention was Allah's approval. So Allah will reward him. The Prophet ﷺ also said that he who builds a masjid not intending to show off or being heard, then Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. And if a person builds a beautiful masjid, but the intention is to impress people, the intention is evil, not to promote the cause of Islam, but to harm the cause of Islam, then this work will have no blessing. It will bring no reward to a person, neither here nor later. And even in this world, that effort will have no barakah. It will have no blessing. It will dwindle away. It will break down. And we see that in these ayat, specifically the people of Quba are being praised. Because the people of Quba were those whose masjid is being praised over here. Because Allah says in these ayat that the masjid whose foundation was of taqwa. So this was the people of Quba. And Allah praises the people. فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَّرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِرِينَ. There are people who clean themselves and Allah loves those who purify themselves. Who is it that Allah likes? Those who keep unclean, who stay dirty? No, who keep themselves clean, who keep their bodies clean. And specifically over here, it's their act of washing themselves, keeping themselves clean after using the bathroom and performing wudu, even though water was scarce. Still they went to the extent of washing themselves properly after using the bathroom and also performing wudu. Because when a person is in a state of wudu in the day, in the night, then what happens? We learn that especially in the night time, when a person goes to sleep with wudu, then an angel spends the night there with him. And what does the angel do? Each time a person wakes up in the night, even for a brief moment, even for a second. Has it ever happened that you just wake up, you turn your side and you fall back asleep? So each time a person does that, the angel says, O Allah, forgive your servant. For indeed he has spent the night tahir. He has spent the night in the state of wudu. So Allah loves those who are clean, who keep themselves clean. Then Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. Indeed, Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and their properties. Allah has taken from the believers, He has bought these two from the believers. What has He bought from them? Their lives and their properties. Now when something is bought, its price has to be paid. So what is the price that Allah gives to the believers for taking their lives and their properties? What is the reward that Allah gives to them in return? بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. In exchange for that, they will have paradise. They will have Jannah. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he asked, Ya Rasulullah, who is the best of men? Which person is the best? The best of all people, who is he? The Prophet ﷺ replied, a man who struggles in the way of Allah, spending his wealth and staking his life, putting his life in danger. The one who struggles in the way of Allah, spending his own money and spending his life day after day, month after month, week after week, year after year. The youth is going there, middle age is going there, old age is going there. Where? In the way of Allah. When they were single, when they're married, with children, with a baby, going in the way of Allah, struggling in the cause of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, this person is the best of all people. Don't we want to be the best of all people? So this is what we have to do. These are the people who have dedicated their lives to Allah. Who spend their lives living for Allah's cause. Not for the purpose of attaining certain worldly merits or worldly rewards or awards. What is their goal? I want to live my life for the sake of Allah. They have given their lives to Allah. And Allah has not just taken their lives from them. Allah has purchased their lives for them. Why? So that they can get Jannah in return. They can get Jannah in return. You know, when you go to accept a job offer, you sign a contract that for 2 years, you will work these many days or on these many projects. And what is the reward, the pay or the benefits that you were promised in return? So the believers, what do? They make their contract with who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, my life is for you. My time is for you. My money is for you. My service, my youth, my effort is for you. Because I want Jannah in return. Life and wealth, both are very, very beloved to people. They're very beloved to us. Especially our life. It's very precious to us. So when a person does not even feel greedy for these two precious things, life and money, and he spends them, he invests them happily in Allah's way, whether it is in a battlefield or he is working somewhere else for the cause of Allah, for the sake of Allah, then Allah becomes pleased with such a servant. Allah is happy with such a servant, and Allah will give him Jannah in return. So what do they have to do? They struggle in the cause of Allah. So they kill and are killed. It is a true promise binding upon him in the Torah and the Gospel and the Quran. And who is truer to his covenant than Allah? If you've made this deal with Allah, if you've made this contract with Allah, then have no fear. So rejoice in your transaction which you have contracted. And it is that which is the great attainment. What does Allah say? فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي بَيَعْتُمْ بِهِ وَذَٰلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Be happy for this contract that you've made with Allah. And this, yes, you have achieved something great. And such people who do spend their lives in Allah's cause, how will they be treated on the Day of Judgment? How is it that they will be rewarded on the Day of Judgment? Because you see, the Sahaba who did Hijrah, who struggled in the way of Allah, their lives were a practical demonstration of these ayat. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say about such people? Abdullah ibn Amr, he said that the Prophet ﷺ, one day he asked the people, do you know about the first group of my ummah that will enter Jannah? The first group of my ummah that will enter Jannah. Abdullah ibn Amr said, I said that Allah and His Messenger know best. I don't know, Allah and His Messenger know best. So the Prophet ﷺ said, the muhajirun will come on the Day of Judgment to the door of Jannah. They will come to the gate of Jannah. And they will request that the gates of Jannah be opened. Because they will be closed initially. So the keeper angels, they will say, has your account already been taken? Meaning, how come you've come so soon? You know, the people, their hisab is still been going on. What are you doing here? Has your hisab been done? They will say, for what are we to be called to account for? When our swords were on our shoulders in the way of Allah until we died in that condition. Our lives were spent serving the deen of Allah, defending the deen of Allah. We were constantly, always on call, always serving the deen of Allah. And we died in that condition. So why should our hisab be taken? So what will happen? The gates will be opened for them and they will enter Jannah and they will have taken qailula, a nap of 40 years before the rest of mankind will enter Jannah. 40 years. Because if they lived 40 years in this world, did they get time to rest? No, they didn't. They spent the time that they could rest in for whose sake? For the sake of Allah. So Allah will compensate them in the best way on the Day of Judgment. So he who trades with Allah, then for him is goodness upon goodness. And this hadith is from As-Silsilatu Sahihah, authentic hadith. Now we need to see, what are those causes in which I can strive for the sake of Allah, investing my life and my property to attain a similar reward? What can I do? Before us is both deen and dunya. The question is, what is my priority? What is of most important to me? What is my love? What is my passion? What is my desire? Accordingly, a person will be rewarded. التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر والحافظون لحدود الله وبشر المؤمنين. So such people, what do they do? What are their qualities? Who are they? Allah says, التائبون, the repentant, meaning always seeking forgiveness. Always making tawbah, meaning always seeking forgiveness. Always realizing their mistakes. And this is a sign of their humility. This is a sign that a person is not arrogant. When he confesses his mistake before Allah, and he says, Ya Allah, I need your forgiveness. I made a mistake. I need you to forgive me. At-ta'ibun. Abdullah bin Busr said that the Prophet ﷺ said, glad tidings to those who find a lot of istighfar in their record of deeds. Tuba, good news for the one who finds a lot of istighfar in his record of deeds. So at-ta'ibun, those who make tawbah, repeatedly seek forgiveness. Al-abidun, al-hamidun, those who worship Allah, who spend their lives worshipping Allah. Those who praise Allah, who do hamd of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said that the best of Allah's servants on the Day of Judgment will be al-hammadun. Al-Hammadun. Here, Hamidun is mentioned. The Prophet ﷺ said, best of Allah's servants on the Day of Judgment shall be Hammadun, those who praise Allah much. Why? Because they thank Allah for what they have. They always find a reason to be grateful. Even in the most difficult circumstances, grateful for what Allah has blessed them with. And frequently praising Allah in their lives for anything good that happens. This is Hammad. One who frequently praises and thanks Allah. Always, always. Such people will be the best people on the Day of Judgment. As-sa'ihun, those who travel for Allah's cause. Meaning when they travel also, when they leave their home, they leave it for Allah's cause. So they leave the comfort of their homes, they spend their money to go for umrah, to go for hajj. And also for jihad, for striving in the way of Allah. So for example, for you to come and go daily, this is also a kind of siyaha. This is also a kind of travel. Whether the trip is short or long. And this is for the purpose of striving in the way of Allah. For the purpose of talabul ilm, seeking ilm or ta'aleem, even teaching. This is as-sa'ihun, traveling. Because so many people are there who stay at home and they find a lot of comfort in that. And yes, our lives would be easy if we could just stay at home. And especially these days, every day my daughter asks me, Mama, is this our home day today? Because that home day has not come yet. Since the past couple of days. Every day, out, out. There's no weekend even. There's no day off. So, as-sa'ihun, make this niyyah for Allah. That we are traveling, we are leaving our home. For what? Talabul ilm, for seeking ilm. For ta'aleem, for teaching others also. For da'wah, calling people to Allah. For islah, for striving, struggling in the way of Allah. Promoting the deen of Allah. And also traveling to see Allah's ayat. So if in the summer, on the weekend, in the evening, we go somewhere, even if it's to the park, and we're admiring the flowers and the trees and the birds, then again, this travel should not just be for the purpose of entertainment, but rather to witness Allah's creation and to grow in iman, to make more tasbih and tahmeed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as-sa'ihun also includes those who travel to earn halal rizq. Halal rizq. Because a person could easily be, you know, doing something wrong and obtaining haram money sitting at home. Or just going a few steps away. But he has to travel, do a daily commute. And sometimes that is long, and he's doing that for the purpose of halal rizq. Because he wouldn't do it otherwise. He's doing it because it is halal, and he needs it to fulfill his duties, to fulfill his obligations. And that is also for the sake of Allah, insha'Allah. So as-sa'ihun, those who travel for Allah's cause. And as-sa'ihun also includes those who fast. Those who fast. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah says that every deed of the son of Adam, every deed of the son of Adam is for him, except for fasting. Fasting is for who? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every good deed of the son of Adam will be multiplied. A good deed receiving a tenfold to 700-fold reward. Each deed is multiplied. Some will be multiplied 10 times, some 20, some 30, and some 700 times. And Allah says, with the exception of fasting. Fasting is not just going to be multiplied 10 times or 700 times. No, the reward for fasting is something beyond just 700 times. Why? Because it is done for me, and I will give a reward for it. For a person abandons his passion and his food for my sake. There are two occasions of joy for the one who fasts. A joy when he breaks his fast, and another joy when he will meet his Lord. Another reward, a reason to feel happy when he will meet his Lord. فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا. Be happy. So he will be happy when? When he will meet Allah. So as-sa'ihun, those who fast. So inshallah, fasting will begin either tomorrow or day after. Huh? So inshallah, make it with this intention that Ya Allah, for you. Only for you. Otherwise, I wouldn't keep myself hungry and thirsty. Not even for the sake of a diet. Right? We wouldn't do it. We could only do this for Allah. Al-raki'una sajidun. Those who bow and prostrate. For who? For Allah. When? In their prayer. A sahabi asked the Prophet ﷺ that he wanted his company in Jannah. And the Prophet ﷺ said that, help me with sujood and with rukur. So as-sujood, ar-rukur, this is something that will bring a person the company of the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah. In a hadith we learn, sahih hadith, silsilatul ahadith sahiha, that when a servant stands for prayer, he comes with his sins, and they are placed on his shoulders. So each time he does rukur or he does sujood, they fall down from him. Al-raki'un, as-sajidun. So now inshallah, salah is not going to be a burden, even if it's going to be late at night. The long rukur, the long sujood, it should not be heavy. Salah is not a burden. It is a means of relieving our burdens. It is a means of getting rid of our burdens. Which burdens? The burdens of sins. And then, those who enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. Both are forms of charity. Enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong. Both are forms of charity. Because Allah's beloved servants, they do not remain silent when they see wrong being done. The Prophet ﷺ said, there is charity in enjoining good, and there is charity in forbidding evil. It's not just a deed that will go waste. It's like an act of sadaqah. وَالْحَافِظُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ. And those who observe the limits set by Allah. What limits that Allah has set? The commands that Allah has given. Ibn Abbas said that one day I was riding behind the Prophet ﷺ when he said, oh boy, I will instruct you in some matters. Be mindful of Allah, and Allah will preserve you. Safeguard His rights, and He will be ever with you. The limits that Allah has set, meaning the commands that He has given, observe them, be mindful of them. Be careful about them. And what will happen? You will find Allah with you. Meaning you will have Allah's help with you. Do we not want Allah's help? Do we not want His support? We do. So what is the way that the Prophet ﷺ taught? Protect and preserve the limits that Allah has set. Respect them. And Allah has set limits for everything. For marriage, for food. Even when it comes to fasting. Has Allah not set limits? That beyond a certain point you cannot eat and drink. And after a certain point you must eat and drink. So these limits, respecting them, observing them, this is something that will bring Allah's special help to a person. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And give good tidings to those who believe. So who are those who believe? Those who also do good. Which good? The good that is mentioned in these ayat. عَمَل عَمَل is what matters. It is not for the Prophet and those who have believed to ask forgiveness for the polytheists, even if they were relatives, after it has become clear to them that they are the companions of the fire. And the request of forgiveness of Ibrahim for his father was only because of a promise he had made to him. But when it became apparent to Ibrahim that his father was an enemy to Allah, he dissociated himself from him. Indeed, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَأَوَّاهٌ حَلِيمٌ Indeed, Ibrahim was compassionate and patient. This is why he made dua for his father. And Allah would not let a people stray after He has guided them, until He makes clear to them what they should avoid. So Allah has also made clear to us the limits that He has set. Indeed, Allah is knowing of all things. Indeed, to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He gives life and causes death. And you have not besides Allah any protector or any helper.